over.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Stoneface Films Podcast right around the corner. But first, we want to talk to you about the nice people who brought you this episode, Buddabag. Buddabag is for those who love comfort, fun, and quality. With more than 20,000 happy customers in 35 countries worldwide, you know Buddabag is something special. It's filled with the highest quality memory foam. It shapes to your body and adapts to your weight. It's 100% made in Ireland and extremely durable. You can choose between more than 40 combinations between size, fabric, and color. You can design your own Buddha bag. We all have some at home. It is like sitting on a motherfucking cloud. Why not go to buddabag.com? That's buddabag.com. Check them out. We highly, highly recommend them. Even have a look at the mini. Don't let that name fool you. It's gargantuan.
Yeah.
It's huge. We easily fit three people on the smallest one they do. So check it out. Buddabag.com. Highly recommended by Stoneface Films Podcast.
Buddabag.
Buddabag.com.
If you want to like get back at someone, just ring them up on a phone.
Knick-knack them. Yeah.
It's the as of yet untitled Stoneface Production Committee Hour podcast, maybe longer than an hour.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Stoneface Films Podcast. My name is John Hosier, your Burn, creative director of Stoneface Films. And with me, as always, he couldn't be here today because he was making a deal with the DUP about a secondhand bicycle. But in the place of Mr. David Riley, we have the consigliere. And we're delighted to have him. He's a musician, he's a lawyer, he's someone for whom I have the most profound respect. He's also one of the best dungeon masters in the world, Mr. Aaron Murphy.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be back.
How you doing, Aaron?
Yeah, not too bad. It's been a rough 15 minutes. found urinal pads in the sink, but other than that, it's been okay.
In the Stag's Head, the only pub in Dublin with rubbing alcohol in the soap dispenser. Aaron, how are you doing? How's life?
Yeah, okay. My dad actually used to, or when I told him I was coming here, said, oh, you're in the dog's arse today. Apparently it's what it used to be called, yeah, the Stag's Head, the dog's arse.
Very, very good. Also with us today, and we are delighted to have him, he is the ripperoo to our Crash Bandicoot, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan, the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions.
Hello.
How you doing, Rob?
Yeah, good.
Any goss?
Nah.
Cracking.
I mean, my break consisted of me going to get water, so...
It's been a big time.
I mean, I'm hydrated.
Been a big time for all of us. Also with us today, and we are delighted to have her. She is a comedian, star of stage and screen, star of facts... star of at least one music video that we've made, and at least one promotional
star, the back of my head.
Yeah, you got some quality side face time. star of the upcoming Edinburgh show, End of Days, Miss Laura Byrne.
Oh, hey.
How you doing, Laura?
Good. I accidentally tore more of a rip in my shirt. Look, it'll look more hipstery now.
It's fashionable, I believe.
It's fashionable. I have very fat knees and a weird bruise that I don't know where it's come from.
I would not describe those as fat knees. I think that's being unfair
to
yourself.
When I straighten them out and you're like, oh, hey.
That was not, I mean, also, I wasn't going, oh, hey, ooh, fat knees. But yeah, I think you've regular sized knees.
Cheers, appreciate it.
That's the best compliment you'll get today.
Childbearing knees.
Dear, oh dear. Laura, how you doing? How's life?
Good, yeah. Less clammy.
It's
all
the dream.
Good. Yeah.
It's all you need.
So I had a nice chai latte. It was very good. It's going well. Took my glasses off because I was like, if I'm going to be in a minority gender-wise, I'm going to be an ocular minority as well, so...
We've tried to, this season, have a... We've easily had more female guests than we've had male.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
By, I would say, a factor of five to one or something like that.
Yeah, I can say, yeah.
We tried very hard to get a series of strong feminist young Irish women on the show. We've had a lot of them, to be fair.
Yeah, I've seen, yeah. Or heard.
It's been great. It's been, fuck it.
Yeah.
We've had some very, very interesting young women on the show anyway. And now one more, Laura. Ah.
Deadly.
So, Aaron, you're going to serve as the question asker for today?
Yes, sir.
You want to lash one at us?
Got a few here. The first one that comes to mind, Sam Sweeney asks, the title of the last song you listened to is your autobiography title.
Uh-oh.
What is it?
In all seriousness, it is Good Apollo, and Burning Star 4 from Fear Through the Eyes of Madness, 10 Speed of God's Blood and Burial.
Wow.
That is a Coheed and Cambria song.
And what happens in your autobiography to deserve that?
Not much, man.
His name is Claudio.
Yeah.
And he's a superhero.
Man.
Or something.
Claudio Sanchez. He does get it. But yeah, 10 Speed of God's Blood and Burial then would be my autobiography. And one can only imagine it's about killing priests on a bike.
Yeah.
On like a bike with numerous gears.
Well, the revolution is coming, brother.
Cycling.
Give it time.
Yeah. This is it. It's going to be
the
a bicycle.
Green and red revolution. Yeah.
It's going to be an entirely cycling-based revolution. Speaking of green and red, God damn it. The whole last week I was staying in... This is the most pedestrian thing in the world. Yeah, there was bed sheets from this organic fair trade place called White and Green. And I was staying in the sheet. And they're just sleeping in the... And now... Every other bed sheet I stay. I went back to my regular bed sheets last night, and it's like sleeping in a garbage fire. Like, it feels so shitty. And I've never given, like, I'd sleep in a burlap sack, I wouldn't give a fuck. Yeah. But now I've had like genuinely lovely sheets,
yeah.
And now it feels like all other sheets are just garbage. Just anyway. So
it's
now,
like once you have 4-ply toilet roll, you're like,
you
God,
never go back.
It? What is this, sandpaper? Jervis Shopping Center!
Riches to rags is always a much sadder story, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Literally rags is what they give you in that dispenser, like this.
Oh, gosh.
What about you, song title, Rob?
It's A Decade Under the Influence by Taking Back Sunday, so that could...
Ooh, that's a great autobiography.
That's very good, yeah.
Just a decade of drinking since I left school.
You live pretty clean.
I still drink a lot.
Keep it clean. Well, fair enough. Yeah.
That's about it.
Laura, what's the last song you listened to?
It was Baby Driver by Simon and Garfunkel. Dad was like, there's a song about that. And I was like, I know. And then he insisted on, like, playing it for me, even though I was able to sing most of
it. How does it go? How does Baby Driver go?
Call me Baby Driver.
Oh, fuck. I never even put
them childbearing knees would come into their own in that autobiography.
Exactly, yeah. I suppose I still have my provisional, so I am only a Baba driver. So.
Yeah. Good for you, man. Good for you. Sure, I was rocking that for 10 years. You'd be grand. That's a good question.
How much... It's not the greatest question in the world. It just came up when I was thinking about something weird.
Mm-hmm.
It was how much did the Tooth Fairy leave you as a child?
Right.
But as a child, my first time not believing the Tooth Fairy was real, I was 8, and we were in Spain, and it was really, really warm, and I had like the tiniest bed to myself. It was the first time I wasn't sleeping in my parents' room or with my brother, and I put my tooth under the pillow after it came out that night. I was brushing my teeth, and I didn't tell my parents because, like, it's the Tooth Fairy that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up the next morning, and there was a line of ants crawling right up my leg and over my neck under the pillow, and they were carrying bits of the tooth back with them, but they had just torn that tooth apart.
Wow.
So the Tooth Fairy left me nightmares. Like, I guess.
You, ants. You got like ants.
Amazing.
The answer to that. Yeah,
I think I got a pound.
Got a pound.
Yeah, got a pound. Quid,
yeah. I found all my teeth when I was like 6.
Really?
Yeah, 6 or 7. My parents kept them in a little box. Oh, said,
creepy.
don't throw it out. I was like, what are you going to do with it? Make it into like a little China elephant or something. And yeah, I found it. So I was like, I stopped believing. But now I still keep my teeth if I get them taken out.
Really?
Like, I got a gigantic hook of a molar taken out, and I was like, that's going in the box next to the...
Oh, wow. All the little tiny cute baby Laura teeth.
Yeah.
And then
this
just one fucking stinking wisdom.
Yeah, it's just like shattered in my face. So there's loads of shards of it.
Grim.
Yeah. Wow.
Jeez.
God, I have to go. I have to get out. I was... Oh, shit, when am I supposed to go to the dentist? Wednesday. I have to get a wisdom tooth taken out.
Oh, no.
And it's not something I've done previously, but it's... Came in horizontally,
yeah,
and it's pushing that way.
Okay, already up though? It's already out.
I don't know, man.
Okay,
I know nothing.
It's way worse, I think, if it's not out. They have to pull away a lot of gum and saw and stuff.
Deadly.
Yeah, no pressure. No.
Having it out is nice.
Looking forward to it.
Uh-huh.
My mouth is weird. I have like a little. It feels like a little bonus tooth.
sort of on the top of my palate.
Yeah.
I've got that as well, like a hard...
Like, out there.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, no use for the radio. Well, that's probably the worst radio I could have possibly done, but putting my finger in my mouth.
People can imagine.
Yeah.
Apparently, because I was like, I have a few of those like hard calcified little lumps, and I was, of course, you know, 3 a.m., you're Googling stuff like that, and also like, what's Jamie Lynn Spears' daughter up to nowadays? You know, that...
Ruining Zoe 101.
But it was like, don't worry.
I have no idea what the last two sentences were. I have no idea what's happening.
So I was Googling this stuff, being like, what are those hard lumpy yolks in my face? And
teeth.
They are teeth. Pearly teeth.
You've dynamite teeth, actually.
They're starting to get crooked because of the wisdom teeth.
Really?
Yeah.
They have nice teeth.
But I was the dentist was like, So we're not going to do anything today, but I'd advise you to get health insurance. She's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoops. But yeah, they said if you've anything like soft in your gums, that's when you should be worrying. If it's hard, it's fine. Toad's fine.
I apparently have good gums and just shite teeth. The dentist was like, plus side, you've deadly gums. Negative side, all of your teeth are dog shit. Anyway, I got two fill-ins there the other day. I have another two fill-ins to get. And sure, we'll see. We'll see. Be grand. And then a wisdom tooth out. Oh, God.
Be fine.
I had a root canal like 3 years ago. It was no crack. I mean, it was fine. It wasn't the worst thing in the world, but like, it is no crack. Like,
are you awake for them? Or are you not?
Yeah, you have to be awake. I asked if they could knock me out, and they were like, no, fuck you. Like,
we'll knock you out any day.
So I just put on headphones and listened to Maria Bamford's Mark Maron episode, WTF. It was all right. Got through it, lived. But yeah, that's a good question. We take another question from the list, Aaron?
Yeah, sure. An anonymous one. If you could commit any crime and get away with it, what would it be? And poor K.
Ooh. It's got to be some sort of fraud.
Yeah.
I always reckoned if I was going to go to jail for anything, it'd be fraud.
Victimless crime, the grift.
Well, you see, get away with it. Most grifts have loads of victims.
The trick is spreading the victimization out so that it's a soft pressure on the top.
No one person really feels it badly, but everyone's just kind of miserable.
Like those
like
dudes that took like
politics.
Like half a cent off every transaction. You know, that thing that happened.
What?
It was some grift where some dude electronically took like 0.1 of a cent off transactions.
Ooh, online?
That happened, online.
Okay.
And like, there were so many billions of them that he made a fortune out of it and then got rumbled.
That's like the plot of Entrapment with Sean Connery.
It may have been the film Entrapment. May have been. That's just what PayPal do now. Like, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. It turned it into a marketable strategy.
Laura, what would you go to jail?
What get away with?
Sorry, that was not the question at all. If you had to get away with one
to go
crime.
To jail? Sure, I'd just go to jail. You know, I don't know if it's illegal. It probably is. You know when you've got an enemy and like put a shit in a bag and set it on fire on the doorstep? Like that.
Right.
Like, if that's illegal.
Who's your enemy?
I have a lot of enemies.
A lot of enemies, a lot of shit.
Cats.
Yeah. That or like interspecies breeding. Like if I can make a dog, cat dog, probably wouldn't work.
Dog at one end, cat at the other.
No, not like or a Van Day
or wolf a cat purrier. Face that goes woof.
Yeah, kind of. But like with like a cat. No, here's what I'd do.
It would be able to lick and sniff its own hole.
Yeah.
Which would be an impressive feat for a dog.
Like, catch fish and frisbees in its mouth. Like just if I could have a zoo, but like just in my garden. Like if I could just. Are big cats illegal in Ireland?
Yes.
Are
okay.
They?
Yeah, you can't own a big cat. You can't own a big cat anywhere in the world, really. You have to pay a shitload to someone to own it.
Well, if I could have. But, like, in a decent enclosure, like, mm-hmm. and I'd have, like, you know, in police training modules where they have, like, cardboard baddies that pop out and they have to shoot them. Well, I'd do that with, like, zebra. And they'd be able to at least simulate. If I had, like, See, like a cheetah, like a small big cat, like a smaller big a jaguar,
like a snow leopard.
Snow leopard, oh, yeah. Although it'd be hard to keep clean now. There's an awful lot of muck in Ireland.
Yeah, white. Yeah.
Like a leopard.
That's the biggest problem.
Take the dirt.
Clean.
This is an
That's
odd
the biggest
crime.
Problem you're gonna have with a snow leopard in your gaff.
This crime is getting too complicated. It's all out of hand.
You'll have to keep up with the hoovering, like.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. They shed. They mold, and I wear an awful lot of black.
A lot of dander, as well from the cat. Yeah.
God, my eyes would be puffy as on the. Okay, here. If I had allergies. To go, if I had to get away with a crime, it'd be. Keeping a leopard that had Oculus Rift goggles on it to simulate the Serengeti. Yeah.
Perfect.
Your crime would be running a zoo. or sort of kinda animal abuse.
Killing a leopard would be nausea. Like.
Yeah, it wouldn't even be like chasing wildebeest, it'd just be a roller coaster, you know. Is this giving you some inkling to how terrible a D&D player I'd be?
No, this is all prime.
It is sort of giving me an inkling into the fucking Nickelodeon cartoon that's happening in your brain. But
it's got its own theme tune and everything. Yeah.
But hey, that's strong D&D potential there, like for a cat person with a VR headset. Oh dear, Rob, what crime would you do? To get and get away with.
Would it be a crime to seize my throne?
I mean, regicide.
Yeah, because yeah.
Cool, because I'm yeah.
That'd be a good one, yeah.
Yeah, because then they can't arrest me for reclaiming my rightful.
Well, yeah.
Rightful seat.
I suppose if it's rightful.
Yeah.
You would, but I think.
I know. I'm still leading an armed revolution.
Yeah, yeah.
Against a 90-year-old woman.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
Regicide is kind of both the coolest. Crime, like the most sort of, you know, you can imagine like Robin Hood committing it or whatever, like noble.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, the fallout from it really fucks up a country.
Yeah. But then I step in, it's just like, well,
everything's cool.
It's me
again.
Now, guys, I have a place to live.
Everyone falls in line.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah. Get Vans to design a sort of baseball cap crown for you. Like,
it's the dream. Have an unlimited supply of these shoes.
Crown.
Do you think like companies like that would survive in a monarchy, like an Iron Fist monarchy?
I mean, I'm not going to clamp down. Definitely, you know, make Ireland a 32-county socialist republic.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Because you'd be king of Britain at that stage.
Yeah, let Scotland be free.
Right.
Wales can do whatever they want. And right. England becomes illegal.
Basically,
so
you're going in to take it down from the inside.
Yeah, yeah. And then once I'm happy, I dissolve the monarchy and England can go do whatever they want.
How's that deal with the DUP going?
I mean, Davey's over there doing
something.
Yeah,
he's trying to work it out. Yeah.
he's my man on the inside.
He's trying to get me a second-hand bicycle for the one that he just lost one day.
I forgot about that.
Straight up. Told me for months that he had it and it was safe. He just forgot where he put it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you better be getting that bicycle off the DUP for his boy here from the buy and sell. Anyway, never mind. That was a good question.
Yeah, it's not a bad one.
Well, why would you go to jail, Aaron? Or actually, I keep saying that. It's the opposite.
Yeah, if you could get away with a crime. If I could get away with any crime.
Yeah.
I would just instinctively sort of think it's funny to say murder because I'd have someone in mind. But I don't think I could ever. I don't think I could ever do it.
Right.
So it would,
I don't think you're the murdering type.
I definitely don't have it in me.
I don't mind telling you that I don't think you're the murdering type. And the reason I don't mind telling you is because I know you won't murder me. Cyclical in that regard.
We'll see about that.
If you want to get back at someone, just ring them up on a phone.
Knick-knack them. Yeah.
What were you thinking, Aaron?
Yeah, it is hard to say. Like, it wouldn't be theft. It wouldn't be something like that. But I think it would have to be a crime that really just upsets someone more than sort of like messes with their social standing or financial terms. Like, I think I would.
It sounds like you're not planning a crime. You're planning on slagging someone off on Facebook. Like,
oh, you see, it's like graffiti is a crime, and if right, I was okay. good at it, yeah. and I could get it in somewhere like really awkward, like yeah. you know, next to the Houses of Parliament in England, or if I could get it even next to the Dáil, and just write some bad shit about someone I don't like in there.
Just Brits out down the side of Big Ben
in a place. In a place that no dear one could reasonably dear. Clean, yeah. you know? Like, that would be great. That would probably be my crime.
Dear, oh dear. That's a nice building. You don't need to wreck the registered buildings.
That's mine now.
That's very true. You can do with it what you want. That's true. That's
knock
a good
it down.
Point.
Build it again.
Hey guys, it's Rob here. This is just a quick ad to tell you that my album, The Cooper Church Amendments, All Things Must Pass, is available to listen to and buy over on Bandcamp for just €7. I wrote and recorded the whole thing in my little home office, and it's really exciting that I get to share it with everybody. It's a super personal album dealing with self-expression, mental health, social issues, and friendships. So go to thecooperchurchamendment.bandcamp.com to check it out, have a listen, buy if you like it, and tell your friends, and I really, really hope that you enjoy it.
Okay, so next question?
Yeah, hit us with it, Aaron.
Yeah, okay. So Anonymous sent in... the Brewster's Millions paradox. If you got given... Paradox. It's not really a paradox. More of just a straightforward...
The Brewster's Millions thought experiment.
Yeah.
Yep. Brewster is standing on a train track. And famously. It diverges in two paths.
Is it Richard Pryor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richard Pryor.
Yeah, so if you have... If you've been given £1 million, mm-hmm. but in order to get £10 million, you have to spend all of it in mm-hmm. a day, and you can't spend it. You can't spend it for things on yourself. You can't spend it on yourself.
Oh, yeah. What was it? You can't keep anything.
Yeah, you can't. Spend you can't buy a car because then you have the car. You yeah, can't. Yeah, yeah. You can't receive the value of this
yeah,
million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you got given £1 million and had to get £10 million by getting rid of all of it in some way, how would you do it? And, like, I know the cheap answer is, like, give
charity,
it all to charity.
Yeah,
yeah, no, give it all to charity.
It was my first thought, and then I was like, boring.
But then it's like, ah, oh, well, what charity, and how much do you give to which one, yeah. and that's a corrupt bastard, and, you know.
Yeah, probably give... I mean, I'm not going to just list, then, charities that are good charities, because that's boring, but...
Yeah.
So, yeah, if we exclude the give it to charity option.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, what are you thinking?
It was always, you know, when the EuroMillions do, like, outrageously... large sums of money, like, and things like that.
Yeah.
And my dad and I would have spoken about it and been like, pay off all our family's mortgages, or at least give something towards that. That's like, because you never want to see your family struggle.
Yeah.
So I think that would be that, or like, put money towards cousins' college funds and stuff like that.
I'm asking the question, Master, though, is that acceptable under the Brewster's Millions rules? Can you pay off your mortgage with Brewster's Millions?
Yeah, I don't know. If you're paying off the mortgages of others, it's hard to say. Like, that
is. Do I own their houses now?
Yeah.
You're damn it.
You have an equity in their house that you just can't have. Kay. No, I think... I think that was what I initially thought as well, is, like, pay off mum's mortgage. But, like...
Either that or, like, buy a few Oculus Rifts for... the
big cats,
the cats in Dublin Zoo.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say like the children's hospital.
The children's
no, these cats need it more. Oh dear. Well, let's assume that you can't do anything charitable with it, right?
So yeah.
Just for the sake of the thought experiment,
what do you do with money other than survive and buy yourself shit?
I mean, my first thought when you said buy things was the $10,000 a day habit from The Simpsons. Like, I have another Fabergé egg, please. And just fuck him at a wall.
Yeah.
That is, to me, one of the funniest things in the entire world. Sir, don't you think you've had enough? I tell you when I had enough. It's just come to him in an alleyway someday with a Fabergé egg and just fucking it at a wall. Like, that's fucking amazing.
That confused me so much as a kid. Because you know when you don't get... like the in jokes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you know when you put a, like, you have a cocktail in a pineapple shell or a coconut shell. I thought that's what a Fabergé egg was. It's just like a fancy coconut painted.
Was he?
I think he's at what looks like a bar, essentially. Right. Be like, I'll have another Fabergé
egg, please. Oh, God. It's so great.
That was like, yeah, that's easily the best thing that character ever did. Rob, how would you spend your Brewster's Million?
Probably invest in, like, or just like donate to like friends' projects and stuff. So like fund films and
I hear what you're saying, but I think,
but not does for that, does, not, not, run not by for the any personal gain.
No, yeah, I get you.
Just be like, here's 20 grand, go make that film you've wanted to make. Here's 50 grand, go make an album. That kind of thing, because that's kind of what I'd do if I won the lotto.
Yeah, that is actually a good show. I kind of hadn't thought about that, but that's a creative way to do it,
The other way that would be good would be, like, if there was a holiday coming up, or if there was, like, an... Do you know what I do? Because it has to be in that day, right?
Yeah.
It has to be in that day. So what I would do was I'd go to, like... famous birthdays or whatever and see whose birthday had been on that day. And hopefully someone, some Irish person of note, like someone, you know, that, that could be celebrated. But if not, like Will Smith or someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just whoever. I only say that because Donna's birthday is also Will Smith's birthday is the only reason.
Great
came to
birthday.
But yeah, so I'd be like, oh, it's this person's birthday. So I'd take the million and I'd split it amongst like all the bars in Dublin and put it behind the bar and just say,
oh,
everyone drinks for free tonight out of this much, right?
Yeah.
And then like try and get it going. Like all bars are free.
Viral. Yeah.
Thanks to Will Smith. Or whoever the equivalent would be. It's Countess Markovitch Day.
And it's not charity because you're really hurting people who will take advantage of that.
Right, there will be numerous deaths on Countess Markovitch Day. It will be the new Patrick's Day.
Die happy, though.
That's what you would have wanted.
Yeah, man. Someone shot a policeman in St. Stephen's Green in memory of Countess Markovitch. God almighty. But yeah, like if that's just strictly... Like Rob's... answer is better. Paying off your family's mortgage is better.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if we're pure Brewster's Millions-ing it,
yeah,
I think that would be a good way to do it. Or do, like, a Conan on it and do, like, the Bugatti Murciélago mouse. You know, when he bought the most expensive car in the world and stuck mouse ears on it.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It was get something really expensive and destroy it.
Like when they bought it, and also on Conan, because this was when he was sacked from NBC. And he was just trying to spend as much of their money as he could before his contract ran out. And it was Watch That Bird, the Kentucky Derby winner.
And oh, yeah.
He bought it and had it watching copyrighted NFL footage. So good. Oh, yeah, and the Bugatti Mouse's theme tune was the original studio recording of Satisfaction for Rolling Stones. That's fucking great.
Yeah.
I very nearly asked, actually. I didn't... I hate when you're... Like, when you're at a Q&A sort of thing, I hate asking questions because it just feels like, who the fuck am I? Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let someone else do it. But I very nearly... When I was at Conan speaking in Trinity, I very nearly was like, what did you guys do with... Watch That Bird, because he just bought a horse. Like, what did you do with it then?
Still lives in NBC.
Yeah, exactly.
Wandering the halls.
It was mad, man. I went to, when I was in New York, I went to the Rockettes Christmas thing.
Mm.
They do like a Christmas spectacular jobby. And it's weird and, you know, it's very, very odd little experience. But I went backstage afterwards and they had... because camels walk across the thing, they do a Three Wise Men thing. So it's very Christian. It's a very Christmas is Christmas. Like it's not.
It's not the holidays.
It's not the holidays. It's very, you know, which, you know, they can do whatever they want, fair play. But they had a camel walk in front of the stage, and then it was like a time passed, and then another camel walked out in front. So it was like the Three Wise Men, and then another camel walked out. And I was like, and then I walked backstage and there was just three camels backstage. And I was like...
You could have just done this with
just one. Just one camel. The never words were all three camels on stage at the same time.
That's just pissing money up the wall.
You could have just had one camel. And instead there was just a room just full of camels backstage next to where everyone was getting dressed. And I was blown away. I was like, why do they have fucking camels? Anyway, you could have done that with a cardboard cutout, lads. Come on.
Just get a bunch of cats.
Just the center of
together.
The Rockefeller Center. There was a Rockefeller Center. I can't remember where it was, but just
camels in the middle of New York City. It was very odd. Anyway, there you go. Sorry.
No, that's a good one. That's a good, good.
I buy camels.
Camels for the Rockettes.
I buy camels and make them listen to the Rolling Stones.
Expensive camels.
Yeah. It's a good question. Any other further thoughts? Any passing thoughts? Parting thoughts, rather, on Brewster's Millions?
I don't know.
Breeding stock for horses. It's really expensive. And if you just leave it out of the fridge for an hour, fucked.
Super gross. So hold on. Your answer is you'd buy a bunch of horse semen. That is basically.
And then just immediately let it spoil. You'd be
turn the power off, save a few quid on the fridge. And no one benefits.
You wouldn't be allowed to kill there again.
In fact, it just blows the price of horse semen through the roof.
When you have your 10 million,
I'll
and
be
you've
the
got
only
your,
one.
And you've got your few left. It's like,
oh, it's actually like Laura is paying off her family's mortgages. Rob is becoming a new patron of the arts. He's the salon of O'Sullivan, like from now on. I'm at least trying to start a national holiday celebrating a female Irish hero, albeit one who murdered a bunch of police.
And you're buying Secretariat spunk.
Just collecting horse tears and leaving it out to spoil.
You can hear like the faint scream of Kitty and being like, no! Think of the horses!
They can always make more.
Oh my god. That is gas. Aaron, we take another question there, will we?
Yeah, we've got another. It's an odd one. Just because I would never have thought to ask it myself on this show. But what band do you think would be greatly improved by swapping one of the members with another musician? The replacement can be resurrected from the dead.
Oh, that's a very, very good question.
Yeah. See, I think a lot of metal bands would be improved by having a zombie play the guitar for them.
Ronnie James Dio.
Oh, I was even just thinking, like,
any zombie?
Zombie Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh!
Like, playing along with Metallica or someone like that. Like, that would just be...
Would be a big improvement.
Would you get the best out of Stevie Ray Vaughan with Metallica now?
You probably wouldn't,
I
guess.
Metallica haven't been getting the best out of Metallica for about 20 years.
Yeah. So. What band? The Black...
Magnetic. Was that the name of their shitty album?
Death Magnetic. And then the one they did with Lou Reed, which I'd rather, honestly, headbutt a wall for... a day, then listen to again.
Be into that.
Shit.
Really?
The worst things I've ever heard.
I got given Death Magnetic as a gift at some point, and I listened to it.
So
someone
boring.
Was like, John, I like Metallica.
I think that Lou Reed is definitely better left alone. He makes good stuff on his own, but working with others, he just suddenly becomes a head case. Like.
Oh, I heard that's a weird album.
It's real bad.
The Lou Reed mix that he did. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's odd.
It's real bad.
Which one was this? Sorry, am I?
It was Metallica's
Lulu, I think was called.
Yeah, it was 2008 or 2009.
Didn't go together at all.
It's just real shit.
Yeah, but like the Black Keys with Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, there you go.
Like, so like a blues band that doesn't really have a lead guitarist.
Right.
But you still have to get the two rid of them.
Is it only two of them? I thought there was more.
No, there's just the two of them.
Oh, that's a good point. It wasn't add, it was replace.
It was replace,
so
yeah.
You'd have to lose. You'd basically be separate. They're brothers, right? The Black Keys. So you're getting rid of one of the brothers. And
you
just
have to kill that member.
You're giving Stevie Ray Vaughan a drummer.
Because if that was the case, I would add myself in as like a tambourine player in the Beatles. Like,
that's a great shout.
Yeah, who had enough sound but could do with a better one? You know,
the Strokes have too many guitarists.
Yeah.
Kill one of them, please. No need to replace.
Replace them with someone who can't do anything.
Yeah.
Helen Keller. She wouldn't know anyway. Just have her there.
As much as it pains me to say it, the Pixies might be... Because say if you had original lineup Pixies, because Kim Deal is no longer in the Pixies, right? They're touring with another lady called Kim on bass, but not Kim Deal. If you'd had original lineup Pixies, it may be improved with a lack of Frank Black. And I Pixies are my favourite band of all time, but I think just maybe without Frank Black, even though he's, you know, the songwriter and all that sort of stuff, I can't imagine they'd be much worse.
Yeah.
They'd certainly do encores and have the crack in a way that they don't now.
I think I know what I do.
Yeah.
And it's like current lineup is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Mm. I take the current lineup of the Red Hot Chili Peppers and take out their guitarist and put John Frusciante back in.
Oh, that's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah. Because yeah. they were good as the original lineup.
Get the band back together.
Get the band back together, yeah. man.
I don't know if it was... You say that like, oh, why did they do that?
Well, no, he was a terrible like heroin addict and yeah. stuff. Like, but yeah, he's. I miss him.
You miss him?
Miss him.
Isn't he dead? He died.
No, he's not.
He's alive.
Oh, really?
Hill yeah. Slovak died, was it? Is it?
Can't remember.
One of them? Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was dead, sorry.
Is no. he alive, though? Really?
No, it doesn't seem as like, oh.
I think I was thinking of your man from Metallica, actually. Is that a thing? Wasn't there a Metallica member died in a bus crash
yeah,
or something?
Cliff Burton, yeah. Back in 86.
Oh, well. You know, Queen, Freddie Mercury, if you're yeah. going to do that.
Ooh, yeah. yeah. Take know? Regular line of Queen. What is it? Jeff Scott Soto, I think, is the lead singer Queen now.
No, it's Adam Lambert. Adam
yeah,
Lambert.
That's yeah. right. Yeah. The guy who won the American.
Came second on American Idol. Yeah. American
oh, and Idol. Straight into Queen. Yeah. Jesus
he,
Christ.
He did his own stuff for a while. He has an incredible voice.
He really? Actually he does. Like, oh, wow. As much as Freddie Mercury kind of can't be replicated, mm-hmm. he's yeah. a really good replacement.
I think he was like the cool. first openly gay contestant on American Idol, and the guy he came second to was just like a
country
good,
singer.
But yeah, he was like just a wee country singer, mm-hmm. and I just there was something about his image that people were still going against, and it was really sad because he's so yeah. like just the most amazing, powerful, nearly like a rock opera voice, brilliant, like. But he's no Freddie Mercury.
Do we ever talk about cop rock on the show? I think we did we.
Possibly, but it's not. Just
you should check
bell.
Out Cop Rock, Rob. I think you'd really
it's just
dig
the police
car.
Songs covered.
Oh, very good. No, it was a failed attempt at a running cop opera, cop rock opera.
Ooh,
on
like
NBC,
a buddy cop,
I think. And it was like wow. they put so much money behind it, and it was going to be like the next big thing. And of course, it was a fucking disaster. But you can still find a lot of cop rock online.
Great,
cool.
Just check it out. Pretty on the nose. Very little subtlety about cop rock.
Hey guys, it's Davey. I don't know, having this planned, if you couldn't tell. So I just had an album come out on Bandcamp of my show Dysmorphin Time. You can get it if you'd like. DaveyRiley.bandcamp.com. It is a €5, but if you want to pay more, you can. If you pay over a tenner, I'll send you a signed poster of the show. That's davyreilly.bandcamp.com. Thanks.
Oh, shoot. Speaking of things that are on the nose, we should probably do some of my poetry.
Poetry corner.
Yeah, I think I have one. We did a thing, ladies and gentlemen, we did a thing where if people wrote in to me with proof of purchase from the Loot Crate, which was a previous sponsor and will be again, I'd write them a poem on a subject of their choosing. And we started last week with McMatz's Providence. So Jess Angell just sent me a thing saying what she wants for her poem, but I'd already written like another one, but yeah. I'd already written one ages ago for her
yeah.
in the first place. So I'm sorry I can't do your second one because I already did your first one. But that's okay. We'll do that now. So Rob, can you hit me with some illustrious jazzy beats, please?
Sure can.
Ding! It's Rob's jazz noise there.
Yeah.
So this one, you know how the last one was sort of like it was about social media was McMatz's request,
yeah.
or more specific elements to that, but certainly social media. You know, I was making a point with it, but it still wasn't taking itself hugely seriously as well at the same time.
Yeah.
Would that be a fair read of that?
Yeah.
So that's sort of how, like, whenever I write poetry, that's generally how I write. Like, perfect example would be the one that ends with "He looked a cunt." Like, that was like one of my other. That was like the last line of a recent one. Anyway, not important. The thing is, I feel whenever I write something that takes itself seriously, I feel like a massive dickhead. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I really hate feeling like that. That's not something I'm comfortable feeling like. But Jess Angell asked me for a poem on nepethys, who was a Greek, or sorry, an Egyptian goddess, right? So I started writing about, or I started researching about this, and started writing stuff and writing stuff and writing stuff. And Nepethys is this sort of really interesting, often sort of forgotten Egyptian god, which had these really, like, she was the god of mourners, and was sort of, she was a funeral god, and there was also some really weird stuff about her breastfeeding the children of other gods. There's all sorts of very various stuff. And during my time working on the feature that I've been working on, you know, I've been chatting to Laura, I don't think I've talked to you about it at any point, but I've been working on a feature for a while now about survivors of mother and baby homes, and I've been going around the country talking to women and stuff like that. And basically, I suppose this poem is about Nepethys being the last god after all the other ones ceased to be of any importance. And as I kept writing it, it sort of became very informed by the women I was talking to. So while this one might seem like it takes itself slightly more seriously than the other ones, it comes from a genuine place. I'm not just trying to be an asshole. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This is a big way of defending the fact I wrote a poem.
Yeah.
but that's really where it was coming from, and it became about a couple of the one in particular that I was talking to and spent a lot of time with, and it sort of, she sort of breaks my heart a bit. But anyway, so this is for Jess Angel. We still got jazz beats going on underneath us, do we?
Yeah,
I would hope that they are ceaseless jazz beats.
Looped.
This is called Nepethys. Acute cacophonous call across a coarse cursed mirror sea to the riverbed without the soil to give men rest. Sons of sisters self-assured, sole inheritors of glee, bleached babes of brothers bitten to a barren breast. Slave to the slave, our mother inferior, her hawks grind dry eyes red with paltry amends to honours anterior, the chattel chimes for children fed. The delta dries, cracked cobwebs crawl, the burnt air leaden with the kite's torment. The world is spent, her torrid thrall, and in her darkness God's lament.
Great.
That was Snaps. My poem for great. Jess Angel. So there you go.
Beautiful.
Feel very embarrassed reading that, because it wasn't, like in the last one, it was about, it was called Providence, was the last one for McMath's, and she asked for a poem about how social media is so isolating but also has the capacity to bring people together and da-da-da-da-da. And I didn't really do the second part of that. I just did the social media is dreadful thing.
Yeah.
But it was about like a woman called Fran watching other people from her bed and being like the eye of Providence, like all-seeing.
Yeah.
But then also her arse really hurting. So that was sort of what the poem was about. And you know, anyway, there you go. No,
that was really like good. It. There's something cool about that Nepethys thing as well. Because I don't know, have you ever read, like, the Sandman series by Neil Gaiman?
No, I have the graphic. Actually, I think your dad got me the graphic novel for Christmas one year, and I've never read it.
I gave the first one to Lorraine, actually.
Right.
And I think she read it and liked it, but never got any further. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's something cool about that. And, like, any of the Terry Pratchett books.
Yeah, I've read a few of them, yeah.
And it's like having the one god kind of left there at the end when everything else is dead, like they kind of turn off the lights in the universe and close the door behind them.
Exactly. So that was sort of what I was talking about, and it also spoke to me about people who were, because she is certainly a powerful god, but she is very much a humble god, will we say, and certainly taken advantage of in the wider pantheon of Egyptian mythology, and often misunderstood and interpreted as a mother god, but was forced to, you know, was the
kill or bury.
What's it called?
A wet nurse.
Wet nurse. Thank you for the children of other gods. And she had like kites, which were like, there was the kites of so I say kites in that as in birds, but the kites of Nepethys in Egyptian society were like professional mourners. Like they'd go to funerals and cry.
They'd wail for like 24 hours and stuff.
It was sort of, they do the same thing in like Thailand and stuff now, right? But it was a big thing in like Egyptian society. So then, the idea of like all the old Egyptian gods, no one worships them anymore, but they're still there. And it sort of mirrored with me a lot of the, you know, going around and talking to these women that I've been talking to who are still so profoundly and fundamentally affected by the effects of a church which no longer holds the same position in society it hold, you know, in the society now, but they're still there. The women are still, they're still standing even if the church is ailing and dying. So it sort of became about that to me, and that's why it's maybe a degree more serious than the previous ones. But hey, look, we'll do. I promise I'll say the word arse in my next one next week. Anyway, there you go. That was Poetry Corner.
Cool.
Nice.
I like Poetry Corner.
It's purely promotional. It's for the dollars.
What is your strangest habit? Asked by Sam Sweeney. For example, Sam's is wandering around their apartment while brushing their teeth.
No way, I do the exact same thing.
Can't stand still.
I can't stand still when I'm brushing my teeth. And it drives me mad as well, because we've talked about this on the show before. I am dog shit at brushing my teeth because I have the worst gag reflex in the entire world.
Oh.
And I, like, particularly in the mornings, really battle throwing up every time I brush my teeth.
Yeah.
Which is probably why I have those aforementioned fillings that we were talking about earlier. But yeah, no, I find it really, really difficult to brush my teeth in the mornings. So I'm always just wandering around the house while I'm brushing my teeth.
Oh.
So I empathize hugely with you, Sam Sweeney, say. Laura, what's your weirdest habit? Apart from trying to force dogs and cats to breed in some sort of monstrous...
See things that aren't there.
Strapping Oculus Rifts onto cats.
Is that a habit, really? It's more of a hobby.
It depends. If you keep it going for 30 days, then it becomes a habit.
I don't, probably have to come back to me on it. There's definitely like habits I had as a kid that like...
Did you do anything weird at the deli counter? Separate the meats a certain way?
I do actually organise. If I cut up a round piece of meat, I cut it into four and turn it into a square so it fits on the bread. But that's just common sense. Like, when I eat
fig
rolls...
I appreciate the attention to detail.
Classic deli ergonomics,
If I eat like fig rolls or chicken nuggets, I'll always like... take the biscuit or the batter off it. Like, I bite that off. And then
is that just because figs are shite?
No, I love figs.
Do you do that with, like, Oreos and stuff as well?
No. It's just specifically with
Or, like,
them.
Kit Kats. Do you ever see the people who eat the top and bottom of the Kit Kat and then
have that with
shit wafer in them?
I do that with a Bounty.
What?
The Bounty, I eat the chocolate off and then I just have a...
leave a coconut turd.
A disgusting maud cylinder of coconut.
Fuck it across the room, stick
Why
it in the wall.
Why not just buy a real chocolate bar?
Just buy a Dairy Milk.
I will then eat the... I don't throw the coconut away. Right. I then eat the coconut.
That's the worst.
But, yeah, it's not. I mean, it's gross.
There's a weird... weird habit. I'll tell you... I used to love playing Crash Bandicoot as a kid, and every time I went through a certain level, when I got to a certain part, I always said 30 days at September, April, June, November, for no reason other than
really
it just jogged my memory.
Little affirmation.
It's actually, there's a part in my show that I talk about a weird habit that I had as a kid, which was I used to harmonize with my Hoover.
Cool. That's impressive. Nice.
So like,
that's cool.
The Hoover would be like, "Ooh," and just sitting there, like lying on the floor, listening to the vibrations, and being like, "Millennia." My parents would, "What is that child doing?"
Have you just as a quick aside, have you played any of the Crash Bandicoot remake?
I don't. Like, I don't have a console. I have a PS2.
I'm gonna get it for Donna because she's crazy about Crash Bandicoot. So you may come round to ours and play it whenever you want.
Thank you. And I've heard it's really good in the sense that like the later games that came out for like PS3 and stuff, like Crash is real gooey looking and bulky and just really 3D.
It doesn't suit him.
No, and it's apparently this has gone back to kind of classic Crash.
Yeah, we still play Crash Bandicoot 1 that we have like loaded onto our PlayStation 3.
So
I think we've
good.
Crash 1 and 2.
Crash 2 is probably my favorite.
Yeah, they're very, very good. Donna's unbelievable at it. Donna picked up Crash Bandicoot 1 the other day and immediately went to it. Because you remember, like, back in the times when a memory card was a luxury. So there'd be that thing of, like, once you get to a certain level, it would give you an incomprehensible string of buttons to press that would bring you to that level.
Yeah.
And Donna just picked it up, didn't look at anything. And she knew
and the level code.
Put in the code for the last level by sheer muscle memory.
Oh, my God.
I was like, that's I'm going to marry that woman. Straight off the bat, I was like, that's it. It's all over.
It's like the... I don't know. I played a lot of games that had cheats that were just dexterity challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the one that I still remember, and it wasn't a dexterity challenge at all, it was left down, right up, left down, right up, L1, R2, R1, L2.
Is that weapons in GTA?
All weapons, yes. GTA 3.
Yes. Yeah. The only one about that is that, like, when you were doing that, if you accidentally toggled onto a gun and shot someone while you're putting in the cheat, you're like,
exactly.
You've got your star straight off the bat. That's amazing.
That were on the original Crash games or on the original Spyro games. You pressed up, up, down, down, left, right, square. You got a demo.
Oh, is the
demo?
A demo of, so you could
the other one like of
you could play Spyro and Crash like you buy on the main screen.
I never knew that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's rad, man.
I used to get like motion sickness playing Spyro, so I couldn't.
Spyro. Yeah, that's
Spyro's a good game. Yeah, it was a good game. I liked it a lot. I don't like what they did with Spyro and the Skylanders and stuff. They made him
weird.
Made him look
like evil.
A bit evil, yeah. He looks a bit evil. Anyway, I'm not looking forward to this. Is a similar thing. You know, I was looking at Super Mario Odyssey, the new Mario game that's coming out.
It's set in real life. Set
well, at least partially, yeah. At least in New Donk City.
And he's tiny.
Yeah,
in comparison to real people.
And he's possessing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very weird. I don't know why they did that, because it didn't work with Sonic having him interact with real people. And just... Because, you know, you can sort of suspend your disbelief of him as a character, but then if you put him next to actually proportioned characters, you're like, what nightmarish world.
And there's a rather large hedgehog.
Yeah. Well, I meant Mario, but quite similar.
Yeah, yeah.
Lizard stealing princesses in this world, and because Bowser then would only be up to like a person's chest.
Oh yeah,
he's
weird.
A much less threatening enemy.
Bowser. He's a 4'11".
He's a Galapagos turtle.
Yeah.
He'd be immediately extincted by people who know he tastes good.
Yeah,
exactly.
My gosh, Rob, have you got any weird habits?
I do this weird thing that I'll take my hair out of the bobbin, and then with one hand I'll flick it across the room. Never to be seen again.
Oh.
And it's just like, why do I keep doing this to myself? Because I've got like a bag of about 100 and I keep going through them because I keep flicking them across the room and never finding them again.
To be fair, if I had long hair, which I've never had, I would, and I had the like a rubber band with me all the time, I would definitely flick it at strangers and shit.
Yeah, definitely.
Would 100% happen.
How are they going to tell where it came from? Just
it's the
victimless crime. Yeah, I had long hair for like 2 years. Yeah. It's like Elrond long, like real long.
Oh wow!
Glad I don't have that anymore.
It was good looking though. Ah, you're looking grand.
I was very girly. It was very pre-puberty. And yeah, so I did. I looked female.
Yeah. He's a good-looking man now. It all worked out. Aaron, any weird habits?
I think I'm in my head too much, like too often during the week, because it's like I'm not weird at all. Everything I do is normal, but there's inevitably weird stuff. Like I shake a lot, and I also dance. Even if there's people in the house, I will dance in front of mirrors, like. For like 20 good minutes, especially while on the phone. If you like, any time you have rung me, I've either been in the car where I can't, or I've just been at home.
That's
like,
amazing.
Just flash dance.
Jamming it out. Yeah, I'm very good at shimmying. It's what my go-to move when I'm not talking, because it makes my voice vibrate.
That is fantastic. I suppose a weird habit would be that I rather fanatically check. I do the checks as they're described in the house where I go around and turn everything off.
Yeah.
And then do that 6 or 7 times, and then sometimes get up in the middle of the night to go and do it again. So do that.
Yeah.
That's just good safety precautions.
My dad does that, except he earths the plugs by putting them in upside down.
Oh, right.
So like, upside down. How do you do that?
Take them out, and then you just put the top in.
Yeah.
So the plug is earthed.
It's because that's the only live one. The other two are only to enable the live.
Oh shit, you give me a whole new dimension to my chair.
Bugger.
I actually wouldn't, because I wouldn't want to fuck with it like.
No, you don't want to mess up with electricity.
Yeah. But yeah, there's that. And then I like check the door, the front door, and I like give it a good rattle to make sure it's locked, and it has broken more than one door. I've broken more than one door that way. So that's sort of probably my.
Is it a safety thing, or is it a just going to bed thing?
It It's a fucking...
Look, every, the day is over.
It's a fucking crazy person thing is what it is. Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah. I know, like, if I come into the house after I've been out, I've been away all day and I know there's been no one there, mm-hmm. I will check for thieves or murderers.
Right, right.
Like,
right.
I'll go into every room and, like... It's a bad thing, because as a child when I did this, I knew where the knives and the samurai sword were. Yeah. So I'd pick that up and walk around the house like, I'll win this fight if it happens. But
yeah, it's like a kendo stick with a mouse, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah.
But I don't know, but I've got a checklist of 16 things, and I count them all off one by one and make sure that they're all the right way, which everyone does.
You should get a Roomba.
Well, it's not about hoovering. It's more about making sure the gas is off and that all everything's locked and you know what I mean.
I have a thing like that where I have to have the windows open in a room because I think the whole radon gas poisoning and carbon monoxide poisoning was like
right.
Double maintenance, you know.
Growing up, right.
Radon coming out your ears.
Yeah.
It's like so growing up in the West, problems, but yeah. I assume that you didn't.
That's gas.
Yeah, I have to have a window.
Literally.
Very good. The only other thing I would say is that I arrange my models in a very particular way, which is very important.
It's not largest to smallest, is it?
No,
division and rank.
I go division and rank. And I've got them. If you were to go into the office, my office now, you'd see like six shelves dripping with miniatures for like D&D and all sorts of things, and they're all arranged in a very specific way, and when they get disarranged everything has to stop. And yeah, because sometimes I'll knock the shelf and then they'll go flying and it's like, oh well, I've lost a day now.
Yeah.
To put all that fucking shit back together, so all that sort of stuff. But that's all normal stuff everyone does. That's normal,
totally.
Yeah, so listen, I've had a lot of fun. I really hope the listener has as well. You had fun, Rob?
Absolutely.
You had fun, Aaron?
Yeah, definitely.
Laura, did you enjoy it?
Of course.
You're the dream. You shook your head in a no way while saying, it was like of course.
Like a farmer's wink. Sure. Stop, come here, guy.
Boy, howdy.
Well, I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much to our guest today. You can find her stuff at Lalzi Byrne on Facts. You can find her amazing Edinburgh show, End of Days, which we highly recommend.
Why not? Plugging Edinburgh Preview, myself.
Please.
And David are doing an Edinburgh Preview on Thursday the 14th.
Oh, cool.
Of July in Unshut. So if people are knocking around, it's free entry and just come and support it.
By all means, go check it out. I'm sure you'll have co-host of the show, David Riley, there as well.
Yeah.
It's an all-star team. Thank you so much for being here, Laura Byrne, everyone.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very, very much to the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions, the ripperoo to our Crash Bandicoot, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you, Rob. And thank you very, very much to the consigliere, our co-host for the day. We are delighted to have had him. He is a musician, a lawyer, one of just the kindest people I know, Mr. Aaron Murphy.
Well, thank you very much.
Aaron, thank you very much for being here. My name's been John Hosier-Byrne. Thank you very, very much for listening. Good night.
This episode of the Stoneface Films podcast is brought to you by the fine people over at patreon.com/stonefacefilms. I first want to thank our top lads, Abby Dessert, Mandy Taylor, Terry Peterson, Therese Smout, McMatts, Laura Conway, and Rebecca Hieronymy. Next, the Ensigns, the Tom Parrises on the USS Best Friends, Charles D. Kirkman, Megan Noble, Lucy Wilkerson, Jamie Pomerleau, Jess Angell, and Sam Sweeney Sia. Space! And a huge thank you to our Knight of the Sainsbury's car park, Sir Alice, guarding the Sainsbury's from the dangers of dragons and loiterers. And a huge thank you to my small council for when I take the throne, Luke Bruton, Shelley Umlad, Dawn Smith, and the Varus in the Shadows who wishes not to be named. Thank you so much for your continued support. And finally, a huge thank you to the stars in the constellation Aldrin's Mickey, shining above us, engorged in the heavens. Thank you to Lysa Cohen, the Goblin Child, Lizzie, John Oldman Byrne, and those who wish not to be named. Thank you so, so much for your support. We couldn't do this show without you. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. Enjoy your week.
You've been listening to the Stoneface Films podcast, hosted by John Hosier-Byrne, David Riley, and Rob O'Sullivan. The show is produced by Rob O'Sullivan of Sentinel Audio Productions. You can find out more about the show, our companies, and upcoming podcasts at stonefacefilms.com and at sentinelaudio.com. Our opening theme is by Lazy Itis, and all other music is by the Cooper Church Amendment. You can get involved in future shows by sending questions and messages to the Stoneface Films Twitter, at Stoneface Films. If you could take the time to rate and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher, we'd really appreciate it. We thank you all for your continued support of this podcast, and we'll talk to you next time. This show is part of the Sentinel Audio Podcast Network.